Okay, what we're going to do today is just going to be a short lesson as we finish up the first part of the Christian growth. And next week, we just have a short quiz, all right, for the things that we have been learning so far. Right? Okay. We're going to be praying first, and after that, we'll memorize. First, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 9. Okay, not 10, right? It's 5 to 9. All stress with you. Let's have a word of prayer. Okay, let's have a word of prayer, then we can get started. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the privilege, Lord, of being in your house on the Lord's Day. Lord, a day of celebration, a day that we can remember the resurrection of Christ. A day, Father, that even the Lord Jesus set the example that every time the church is open, he is there. Father, that was his habit. Because he loved the house of God, he loved it, Lord, because it was where the word of God was taught and where prayers were made and where God's people gathered. So Lord, give us a love for your house, a love for the people in the house, and Lord, a love for your word and the activities that happen that contribute to our spiritual growth. Lord, you in love instituted the local church that it might be a refuge of help, refuge of strength, a refuge of conviction, Lord, because Lord, your house is to be the pillar, ground of the truth. We thank you for what you're going to do in teaching us your word of how to be strong in the faith. I pray also for the many churches around the world, in Singapore, who are conducting their services. I pray for your word to be preached, the Lord Jesus to be exalted. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, why don't we just try it together, okay? Ready? Ready? Try to put all your things away and then try to remember. Ready? One, two, go. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, it make you that ye shall be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He that lacketh these things cannot is blind and cannot see afar off, and forgotten that has been purged from his old sins. Okay? Actually, we can. Well, what am I encourage those people who may have Rajanya cannot actually memorize? Okay, one of the things I've learned many years ago, and the pastor was telling us, all you need to do is just read. Morning you read 5 times, at night you read 5 times before you sleep. Just read. And every time, but you must make it a habit. You just keep reading. Over 1 week, you remember it reading. Okay, you're just reading and reading and reading. All right, and what happens is as you read, you basically familiarize yourself with the text, and your brain actually locks on to every word very quickly as well. Okay, so hopefully this will be a practice. Okay, memorization of scripture is not only for children; it's for us as well, especially as adults, because we need to know God's word and teach them as well. Okay, okay. Just want to do a quick review of the four elements, major elements for Christian growth that we need to know. Okay, please remember the elements: abiding, putting on, confessing, and pressing on. These are elements that we need to put on. Okay, just now we say add to your faith, and it's a very important principle to remember that all we have at the beginning of salvation is our faith. That's all. That's all. God has given us new faith. Of course, God has given us a whole lot of other blessings. But you know, God does give us responsibility to do these things in order to grow. Okay, kind of like you go to school, you say, now you're a student, your responsibility is to study, is to come for the classes, is to make sure you listen to the instructions, finish your assignments, and all these are the little things that you have to do along the way so that you can be a successful student. All right, some students go to school, they don't choose to study. I'm a student, but I don't study. After a while, they're wasting their time, wasting their parents' time, and everything else, okay? So put all these things on, abiding, putting on and putting off, confessing. Today, we're looking at pressing on. But remember the passages as well. I'd like you to be able to know the passages. We've gone through them, but know the passages in John chapter 15 is the passage of the vine and the branches, okay? Jesus is a true vine. We are the branches that is in Christ. And we live a part of Christ, we cannot grow, cannot bear fruit. Putting on and putting off in Ephesians chapter 4, talking about the fact that when we have to put off old things after becoming a Christian. Okay? And that's literal, meaning that if I've been lying, I need to say, Lord, I know it's wrong. I'm going to stop lying by your grace. But and you know, it's interesting, one thing is, many times, it's very hard to put away sins. The way you put away sins is to do the right thing. You don't tell lies, you tell the truth. Does it make sense? Okay, it's important because some people say, no, I'm not going to tell lies anymore. So what do? You need to tell the truth. Okay, in child training, I've learned it's not easy, but many times in child training, we always say, don't do that. The children will then say, what am I supposed to do then? Always teach the right thing. Always teach the right thing. Okay, always do the right thing. Teach the right thing. Okay, then after confessing of sin, we talked about it last week. We'll be touching a little bit on that. Okay, let's turn to 1 chapter 1. Okay, this is the third element. I just want to finish off. Last week, we finished off with confession. I just want to finish off. Okay. We did talk about confession. I'll just read the passage. You follow along. This then is the message which you have heard of him and declare unto you, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Okay. God is perfect holiness. So in verse 8, if we say that we have fellowship with him and then walk in darkness. If God is light and we're walking in darkness, then the Bible says we are lying and we're not doing the truth. We're not living according to the truth of God's word. Okay? But if we walk in the light, he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, so we're going to start from verse 9. The Lord Jesus, or rather the Apostle John says, if we will confess, the word confess means to agree with God that we are wrong. Agree with God that we are wrong. Agree with God that we are wrong. It's just the first step. It's actually willing then to say, okay, I need to make amends. I need to do things that will reflect the fact that I believe. Okay, let's say if I stole something and I tell the person, yeah, I stole. Yes, I stole. I agree that he's right, but if I'm not willing to do something about it, I'm not going to change. Okay, I may confess, and what the person will have to do is to fine me or charge me. Okay, but God says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If we are honest with God that we are wrong, God says, I will be faithful to my own word and to you, and I will be just, meaning, it's interesting, we're talking about justice in this message as well. But when God is just, it simply means that if God promises you that he will forgive you, you will be righteous and just to keep his word. If you confess, I will forgive you. But the confession has to do with openness, transparency, and to really, in your heart and mind, tell God that, Lord, I'm wrong, I'm sorry. God says, okay, you've confessed your sin, I will forgive you. That's why every sincere person who comes to God to ask for forgiveness will receive 100% every time, okay, the forgiveness of sins, every single time. Because God is just. He's not going to break his word. Okay? He's not going to break his word. Of course, there will be other questions that come and say, but Brother Johnny, what if the person confessed? It's always the person confessed, not we. What if the person confessed and then he do it wrong again? Will God forgive him the second time? If he's sincere about it, is it? But yes, he will. Okay? But Brother Johnny, he keeps doing it again and again. Yeah, I know, because we are weak. And so that person needs to come to a place. Let's say if he offends me all the time and I say I forgive him all the time, over time I'm going to say, hey, this guy has a problem. I need to help him. I need to help him overcome. But the person must be willing to be helped. So many Christians confess their sin. But you know, it's just in some Christians actually feel very ashamed. So yeah, they confess it to God, but they're not confessing it to men. You know, God wants us to go one step further. If you're struggling with sin, to actually go to someone that can be trusted, the person is a godly person, and say, look, I need help with this. And to allow God's people to help that person. Does that make sense? Okay, we don't have to be ashamed. Anyway, the Lord Jesus was exposed to open shame for us. Okay? And you know, he was so humble, he was exposed to open shame. For us, we need to be at least humble enough to say, go to someone and say, I have this sin, I got this problem, I've been confessing it, I've been trying, I can't, I just cannot shake it off. You need someone else to help you. Okay? So, confession makes things right with God again. And that's important. If I offend you, I come to you and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. You know, generally, God has made us such that when someone comes and says sorry to us, as a Christian, and you're walking with God, I'm saying, and even as just a normal human being, I say normal human being, unless you have a very evil heart against people, when someone comes to say sorry to you, generally, you will say, don't worry about it. No? And that the relationship is patched up. Does it make sense? That's what God wants us to do. In fact, when we come into God to ask for forgiveness, you can be assured 100% He'll forgive you. Not only that, remember the prodigal son? When we come back, he not only will forgive you, he'll wrap his arms around you, he'll say, welcome back, and he will make sure that you've just been reinstated 100%. Okay? So when you could, but the important thing, when we say it's confession, there is no way around that. God has given confession because, you see, every offense is a spiritual problem. It has to be dealt with in a spiritual way. And God has given the spiritual way of confession to deal with that sin. Once the sin has been confessed, I say as a Christian, once the sin has been confessed, the sin has already been washed away. That's true. But the offense is not dealt with. And God wants us to deal with that so that the offense can be cleared off and the relationship can be restored, the fellowship can be restored, okay? So the first thing that confession does, it makes things right with God, and it puts us back into the light. It puts us back into the light. That's it? You understand what I'm saying? Any questions, please ask, okay? So let's say if I broke the law of school, I did not come back to class and all that, I feel very sad, and then my parents were very supportive, they say, let's go to the principal and say you're sorry, and I'm sorry. Principal, it's okay, make sure you don't do it again. Maybe you have to wash your toilet twice a week for 2 months, the kind of thing, and say, okay, I'll do that. But then it puts you back into class and continues on with your life. Does it make sense? Versus someone who says, no, I don't, I'm very paiseh, I don't want to come back already. It's interesting, we do have young people who has been in our church before who say, I feel ashamed if I come back to church again. You know what? Can I say this? If you have sinned, or if we have sinned, and we feel ashamed to come back, you just listen to the devil's lie. It is the devil's lie to keep you away from the light. The best place you can be in when you have fallen, perhaps you have stumbled, is to come back to God's house. Okay? Having said that, God's people must be ready to always receive with grace a person who is truly sorry for their sins. Okay? Does it make sense? For those who are here, I hope this will always be in our mindset that as much as God receives sinners, so should we. Because remember, we are sinners too. Okay? And Ambassador Baptist Church is never a perfect church. It will not be until Christ comes. The church is a hospital for sick people. We are not perfect. We're here to help one another. Alright? Okay? So, it puts us back in the light, it starts the way to victory. Okay, let's turn to Ephesians 1 verse 3. One sister brought, I just want to make that clear. How does confession of sin actually stops the spiral of sin? Ephesians 1 verse 3. Let me explain the spiral of sin. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Okay, let me explain the spiral of sin, okay? When the temptation comes, okay, let's say the temptation comes, I fall into the temptation. Okay, I fall into the temptation. I confess my sin. But I find no strength to get out of that sin. And so the temptation, by the way, if we don't deal with it, Satan will keep on coming back. Because Satan knows what's the weakest point in our life. And so he'll keep on hitting the same thing again and again. And so what happens is we were strong in Christ, we fell into sin, we say we're sorry, but we don't get right. Satan comes again, hits us, we go down again. He says, you go down again. And we just kind of, what you call it, spiraling down. One sin will lead to another. After your sin, if you're ashamed, you may lie to cover up. That's another sin you got to deal with. Then after that, then it's interesting. Once you once you lie the first time, you got to tell another lie to cover the first lie. Then you cover the second lie to cover the second and the first lie. Then you need to say the fourth lie to cover the third, the second. And very soon, you get found out because you forgot about your train of thought. And that's what it does. The spiral of sin will just keep you down. A Christian who has fallen into a sin and don't confess in the immediate time, what will happen is that you're going to stay in that sin. And Satan will make sure it keeps dragging you down. And that's why after a while, on fire, Christians who are on fire for God suddenly cease their Christian activity. Or they come to church and suddenly they stop. Okay? You know what's the remedy? Confession. Confession. Okay? Because what God wants to do is to say, hey, I still love you. You're still my child. I can forgive you, but if you just got to set things right and just take the next step up again. Okay? Alright? Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Let me just read that. Let's read together. Ephesians 1, 3. Ready? 1, 2, go. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Okay? When we've been saved, this is our spiritual position. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Okay? Let's pretend this is a square. Okay? This is a square. If I get saved, God puts me inside the square. That's my place as a Christian. I may be weak, but when I'm saved, God gave me that heavenly position. When I fall into sin, I step out of that position because of I was out of God's will. But when I confess my sin, I may still have my sin, but I've confessed my sin, God actually puts me back in that relation, in that fellowship with Him again. Okay, it makes me ready to take on the challenges again. The Holy Spirit can start talking to me again, okay? Can start answering my prayer again, which means that God is giving me the strength and power to overcome the sins that's in my life, okay? Any questions? Any questions at all? This is very important. You know why it's important? Because when Christians fall into sin, sometimes they're very paise. I'll say without apology that the Church of Jesus Christ and every Christian's responsibility is to hate sin and to deal with it. If our God is holy, we cannot allow sin in our life. And if our God is holy, we need to be able to have the grace to say, I cannot tolerate sin in your life too, because I love you. I don't want you to continue in that sin. Because sin corrupts, destroys. Sin breaks hearts. Sin just destroys relationships all over. And so in love to God and to men, we need to deal with sin. Okay? Right? So, but when we confess our sin, we stop going down. We stop there. And God is able to push us up again. Okay? Any questions? Many Christians struggle. You know what you need to do if you are struggling in your mind right now? You need to make a decision. I'm going to confess my sin. By God's grace, I'm going to put away all these things, okay? And you say, Brother Johnny, that's hard. Okay, let's turn to Philippians. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at pressing on, all right? Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Any questions? This is the fourth element. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 to 14. Okay, let's read together. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 to 14. Ready? 1, 2, go. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Okay. What was Paul's background before he was a Christian? What's Paul's background? He was a... Yeah, shut up. What's Paul's background? Sorry? He's a Pharisee? What else? Sorry? He's a murderer. Why so quick? Okay, he's a murderer. Why did he call him a murderer? He killed Christians, okay? Did he do right? To us, he didn't do right, but did he do right? Did he think he do right? Yeah, he think he was serving God, right? He think he was serving God when he killed those Christians. God, I'm going to stop these people from tarnishing the Judaism. How dare these Christians come? and he thought he was doing right, okay? But he was actually a murderer. He was actually a murderer. How would you feel if you killed people? You know, killing someone is not easy. You actually have to suspend and block your conscience to kill someone. You have to. Because, I think Jeremiah was talking to me or some, even police officers tremble when they have to hold a pistol if they're really aiming at someone. You know how much it takes to kill someone. Because we are striking out the image of God. And God has put a conscience in us. But when a person actually participates in that actively, and the cause of Christ, or rather the cause of so-called their religion, I can't imagine how the ISIS can just, you know, I've seen pictures of how they just, the people line up, they just shot them, push them down, shoot them, push them down, it's like, and apparently what happens, maybe one of the things was, they actually get them to take drugs before they actually go through this thing, so that they'll numb their senses, so they just go ahead and do all these things. Can you imagine slitting someone's throat? That's terrible. Can you imagine what Paul feels after he became an apostle? He actually called himself a murderer. Okay, if you read today's devotions in the church article, Paul remembers that he was chief of sinners. And he wasted the church. In other words, he killed a lot of, he basically tried to destroy the church, the very church of the Savior who loved him. Okay? So Paul, when he wrote this, probably have this in his mind. Okay? He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." I want us to notice this thing about pressing on. Look back to verse 12 first. Paul says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect." What Paul was saying is, I'm a Christian, I'm an apostle, I'm doing the will of God, but it's not as if just because I'm an apostle, I'm there, man. I'm the standard of Christians. Paul says no. I'm not the standard that people need to attain to. And he himself is very clear. He is never satisfied with his Christian life. He's never satisfied with his Christian life. When I say never satisfied, it doesn't mean that he feels bitter, he feels angry. He just feels that, you know, some people who do very well in their exams, like maybe they're 99.97, they say, yeah, I think I can do better. or something like that. Or they achieve certain things, but I think I could have done better there. And they are always wanting to get better, or do things in a better way. Not in a prideful way, but just say, I can do better. I should be faster in that. I should be more clear in that. That's Paul's attitude. He says, in my Christian life, I may be an apostle. I may know the Bible very well. I may be able to even challenge the Jewish teachers and change their minds. I say, before God, I want to grow more. I need to press on more. Okay? So not as though I already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Jesus Christ. Question, what does Paul mean? Don't glance through scripture now. Think about what Paul is saying. Look at the scripture there. He says, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. What is Paul saying? Look at the Bible. Look at the verse. Think through. What does apprehend mean? What does it mean? Anyone? I'd like to try. Sorry? Capture. The word apprehend means to capture. Like the police apprehended the thief. That's what Paul is saying here. Okay, apprehend. So let's. Okay, he says, if that I may capture that for which also I'm captured of Jesus Christ. What is he referring to? What is he talking about? Look at the scriptures. Come on, let's think. As believers, let's love the word enough to say, Lord, what do you mean? What is he referring to? Okay. How many of you know the meaning of this verse? How many are not too sure of the meaning of this verse? Okay, let's be clear. Paul is saying this, I follow after, in other words, I'm pressing on. If so that, I just, if conditional, that I may capture that, I may capture the thing for which also I'm captured of Christ Jesus. Okay? Let me illustrate, maybe it's easier. Paul was a Jewish Pharisee, he was walking through life. Okay, that's the end goal. So he was walking through life, proud Pharisee. Okay? When he reached here, Jesus apprehended him, captured him. Okay? Jesus arrested him here. The word apprehended means Paul considered himself captured by Christ, because, by the way, most of us are going through life happily until Jesus Christ captured you. Did you know that? Otherwise, you just continue with your own life. And then you die and go to hell. But God had to intervene. Do you know how much grace that is? Do you know how much of God's love that is? Even for children who are born in Christian families, do you know how much love God has to capture you and put you into a Christian family so that you won't get away from His love? Amen? And so, for those who are saved and you're not from Christian families like myself, okay, God wants you to reach out to your own family so that they become Christians. Okay? So, Paul was walking through and he was captured by Christ at this point. Okay? So, that's the first part. That's the second part, which also I'm captured of Jesus Christ. But listen to how he says, if that I may capture that for which also I am captured of Christ Jesus. Okay, let me just explain it simply. Paul says, I'm pressing on so that since I'm captured by Christ, Christ has a purpose for me. He wants me to capture that purpose and finish it. Okay? So if I paraphrase this, it simply means I follow after if I may capture and fulfill the purpose that Jesus Christ has for me, which is the very reason why he captured me in the first place. Did you get that? That means you're not supposed to live your life just to do your secular work. Your secular work is not your primary purpose. Your secular work is your duty in life. But God has a spiritual purpose that he wants everyone to fulfill. That's why he captured you in the first place. Does that make sense? That's why he captured you in the first place. The Lord Jesus Christ don't just save people for fun. He saved people for a purpose. We're all called according to his purpose. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, for them who are called according to his purpose. And Paul is saying, look, I'm pressing on. That's why if you're discouraged as a Christian and you cannot press on, remember your life has a purpose that God has actually imprinted when he saved you. It may be just to be a faithful member serving, be faithful in the ministry in America, in different places of the world. You know, people have taught Sunday school for 40 years without complaining. And every children that come, they pray over, they see themselves as, God, I'm not called full-time, but you know what? Every Sunday, I'll be there teaching the Sunday school. I'll be faithful on my week. Yeah, I got to go to work. I may feel tired. But you know what, Lord? After that, I'm going to spend time just preparing lessons. I will visit my Sunday school children. I will pray for them. I will prepare materials. Why? That's your ministry. Does it make sense? Ambassador Baptist Church members, we are saved for a purpose. It's not just to do your own career and enjoy your everything. God has a purpose. And at the end of, when you are lying on your bed ready to meet Christ, you need to ask yourself, have I fulfilled that purpose? Okay? That is why we need to press on. Yeah, we may fall. How many of you have fallen before? Yeah, we all have fallen before. Okay? As a pastor, have I fallen before? Sure, I have. I've been discouraged to the point that I won't tell you that. But you know, there's a purpose. There's a purpose. That's why after you get saved, you don't live for yourself anymore. You live for God, you live for your family, you live for your children, you live for the people who are lost. If all you're living for is a PhD or the few dollars that come into, I say it's a few dollars, because compared to the riches of Christ, just a few dollars. If all we live for is that few dollars that come into our bank every month, your life is too cheap. You know why? Every Christian's life was bought by the blood and the life of Christ. You are worth infinitely more. So when Jesus Christ saved you, don't look at yourself and say, oh, I'm just a poor, you know, I'm just a member, Lord. No, you're not just a member. You're a part of Christ's body. Okay? So in Philippians chapter 4, let's go on, okay? In verse 12. So in verse 12, if I may capture the purpose that God has given to me, which is the reason why he captured me in the first place. He wanted me to capture his purpose. Okay? In verse 13, this is Paul's decision. And I hope this will be the decision of every Christian. I don't care what spiritual state you are in. If you are a Christian, this is what God wants you to do. This is God's will. And God is telling us through the Apostle Paul. He says, his brethren, I count or consider myself not to have attained. I have not completed God's will. If you look at Paul's life, he said, wow, Paul has been planting churches left, right, and center. He's been doing so much for God, but he still says, look, I've not finished what God has for me yet. You know what? I believe he's thinking, as long as I'm still alive in this world, God has something else for me to do. Because Paul in his Philippian church was in prison the first time. His life is not over yet. There will be a second imprisonment under Nero, and that's when he was executed. So he says, look, I've not finished my work. I've not captured everything. Young people, some of you may think, oh, Brother Johnny, don't worry. When I settle my exams and all that, then I'll come and serve him. You have no guarantee that you have an opportunity. Okay? So Paul says here, I consider myself not to have apprehended, but one thing. You can see in this one thing I do, this and I do is in italics. But it's as if Paul stopped and said, no, there's one thing. There's one very important thing. You know what? The one thing is actually a consolidation of a few steps of how we press on. Number one, you need to put it behind, forgetting what lies behind. I don't know about you, but what lies behind for you? For the Apostle Paul, there are two things that lie behind for him. Number one, his successes. Paul was very successful. He will be the top 1% of his university. He was trained under Gamaliel, which is the chief and the bestest professor at that time in the Bible. Okay? He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. I mean, he was, concerning the law, the Bible says he was blameless. In other words, he fulfilled all the 613 laws. He was that perfect. And you talk about someone who knows his stuff. He not only know it, he's doing it. That was how holy he was. He's got to put his achievements behind. Or maybe every year in the most outstanding rabbi contest, you know, maybe every year he will always get medals. But you know what? He's got to put that behind. Your successes only serve to encourage you. It's not our bed that we rest in. I heard Evangelist Ron Comfort said this. If we only talk about what we've done last time and how great God has done for us, we've backslided, okay? So the key thing is, Paul had to put away his successes, your achievements. But you know what I need to put also? In Paul's eyes, the second thing he need to pull back is his failures. Why do I say his failures? Let's turn to 1 Timothy. I'll show you some of his failures. 1 Timothy chapter 1, which is actually the article for today as well, in verse 13. Let me just read that. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. The Bible says, who was before a blasphemer? We are Pharisee, a blasphemer. Yeah, he was blaspheming against the God of heaven. A blasphemer. A persecutor, someone who persecuted and killed Christians, an injurious, someone who injured not only individuals but family, and he was doing all these things. And Paul calls him, look, and you know what later on he says, verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came to the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. I'm the chief of sinners. No, Paul's not being proud. Because if he's really being proud, the Holy Spirit wouldn't put it in here. But Paul was just saying, look, I feel like I'm the chief of sinners. I feel like, look, God cannot use me. I'm so sinful. Paul had to put that behind too. Right, Johnny? I can't even tell you what I did. So, you don't have to tell me. You can tell Christ. He knows everything you've done. And you know what? Failures are just, you know, that I said your successes are just your encouragement. You know what failures are? Failures are your stepping stones to growth. Failures teach you what you shouldn't be doing. Failures teach you that I really need God. Failures teach us to press on. So what? Who has never fallen before? We all fallen. Come on, let's be honest. Even myself, we've fallen. But you know what? I believe God encouraged one. God through Paul. I mean, I believe God is using Paul. Paul is such a great apostle, and yet he says, "I need to press on." And forgetting those things which are behind, you need to put things behind. Don't dwell on it. Don't dwell on it. You know. In order for you to do this too, you know what you need. You know what it takes. Number one, conviction. That God wants you to press on. Number two, you need a decision. You need to decide not to dwell on it. Some people may be, because of things they've done in the past, they may be, basically they are, I call it the ghost of yesteryears. The luggage you carry along every year in your life. God wants you to put away. Don't dwell on it. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. And then in verse number 13, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You know what things are before for Christians? Spiritual growth, God's blessings, another soul getting saved, your the people in your family getting encouraged and growing in Christ. Okay, for you, God may be preparing a ministry for you, or for you, men who are not married, maybe it's the godly spouse that God is preparing. Or God, ladies, is pressing on to all the blessings that God has for us. You know. Keep our eyes on the goal of fulfilling God's perfect will for us. Reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Keep looking ahead, not behind. How many of you have seen cute video, YouTube videos of people who think they win? Yay! Oops, someone ran across. Right? We need to be keeping the end goal always inside. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling God in Christ Jesus. Then verse 15, okay? Because, you know, for some of us, we find it hard to press on. But you know, in verse 15, let us therefore, as many as be mature, be thus minded. If you want to be mature, or if you are mature, the Apostle Paul is expecting you to have this pressing on mindset. You know, early on in the ministry in Ambassador, I always have this focus is every new year, 1st of January, it's always a time that we plan, look back at how much we've grown, and forward how much we want to grow. What areas does God want us to work on? You know, in verse 15, let us therefore as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, if you say, no, I'm not interested in this pressing on, God shall reveal this unto you. In other words, to God is a very important conviction. It's a very important principle. He wants us as Christians to be pressing on. This world needs Christians who are growing. Do you realize, young people, if you are coming to church, you know the gospel. Do you know that it is God's will that this gospel go back into your family? Because if your parents are not Christians, God wants you to be the light for them. Okay? Give you an example. My mom is here because of me. Some of you, your parents are here will only be here because of you. Because of the light you carry. Okay? So if in your mind you're saying, I'm not interested in this, Pastor, well, I'm gonna pray that God will convict your heart about that, because that's what Apostle Paul is praying. Okay, he's praying that if in anything ye be otherwise minded, the things I've preached, one of them is this, God shall reveal this, even this unto you. okay? The devil, I just want to add this in, because the devil will always want to discourage you. Some of you may be so far in sin, or you feel you're very far in sin, and say, "Brother Johnny, I'll never come back." There's always a U-turn with God. Always. You know, can I be honest with you? Some of you were here when I preached on the thief on the cross, you know, the tree. You know, it was at that time when I was preaching the three crosses, as I was preparing a message on Thursday night, or even Friday morning, I was just going through it, and realized God's grace, that even, it was God's extreme grace that God allowed the dying thief that he was going to save, die beside the Son of God. Another time, I believe the Holy Spirit was teaching me that, you know, I love the people so much that even at the last opportunity, I'll do all I can to reach him. You know, for a dying thief to find the living Savior at the time that he was going to die, it can only be God's grace. So you cannot tell me, if you're alive, after you can go down for lunch and all that, that you don't have time to come back to God. Because there's always a U-turn. You know what? Decision is always deep down in your heart between you and the Father. It's always your decision. Children, whether you trust Christ or not, it's your decision. You know, people always blame God. I say, "God, what are you blaming me for? Number one, I've given you His Word. I've given you people who care about you, who tell you. I've given you family members who love you. I've given you the Bible. I've given you the Holy Spirit to convict you. All you need to do is say yes." Okay? But the devil always wants to discourage us. He always wants to, he's an accuser of the brethren. "Ah, you are good for nothing." I can tell you, I was very discouraged. I mean, last year, some of you may have known the good things we've gone through. Over the last 4 years, discouragement was my daily food. My family were just, but you know what? It's about pressing on. Because if I give up, my children will too. Parents, are you listening? If you give up in your Christian life, your children will too. But it says, "Daddy don't even have strength to continue for God. What's the point of me?" And many children see that. Fathers, doesn't mean that we are strong all the time, but it does mean we need a resolve in our hearts that say, come hell or high water, meaning that all the demons of hell or all the troubles will come, I'm not going to give up, because Christ loves me. He wants me to press on, and He loves me so much. He's done so much for me. He's with me, and I need to press on. No matter which state I am in, I need to press on. Okay? Because there's always someone else looking at your Christian life. Okay? The devil always wants to accuse us, but God wants us to keep pressing on. Okay? Any questions? If you are carrying a heavy burden in your heart, and you are thinking, "Is it because I did?" Right? If you have confessed it before God and before man, it's over. And all the voices that come to you, it's just the devil accusing you. If you have done your due diligence in following God in Scripture and confessing it and dealing with it and putting it out of your hearts, and sometimes these things that you've done keep coming back, it's only to say the devil wanting to abuse you. Your sin has been judged at the cross. Once and for all, it's over. And when you confessed it, it's over. Satan will come back and say, "You are still the same." "Yes, I'm still the same in my..." But you know what? My spiritual standing before God is changed. I'm His child. I'm following Him. I may be weak, but I want to follow Him. Okay? If some of us are in sin, can I urge you, confess that, so that you can be put on the right standing with God, and that God can continue to use your life for someone else. Can I say this? If I've learned one thing, it's as a pastor, if I'm in sin, I can save no one. God cannot use me because I'm a dirty vessel. I don't know about you, when have you worked with children who's very scared of dirty, very scared of getting dirty?
Dirty.
Then he will not eat, he will not drink, he will not bathe, he will not sleep. He will bathe, actually. Until you do. We need to have that kind of attitude towards our Christian life. "I cannot stand that sin. I need to get it off. I need to get it off." You know? We need to deal with sin. As Christians, if we don't deal with sin in our lives, we're not Christians. I say again. And I want you to pay attention to the message later on in the service, because I'm going to tell you from God's word what Jesus did on the cross in a fair amount of detail, because that is the gospel. Okay? So in our Christian life, we've got to deal with sin. All right? Any questions? I want to encourage us. Satan can never defeat us unless we allow him to. Because we already won the victory. Does that make sense? We're already Christians, we already won the victory. Okay? Any questions? Okay, for next week, please, just a short quiz, okay? Memory verse, 2 Peter 1, verse 5, okay? 5 to 9. Okay, take note of the 12 points to take note of to have clear victory and growth. How many of you can remember the 12? I hope you have taken out some notes. Okay, and abiding, putting on, confessing, pressing on. These are the four major elements of Christian growth. You need to take note of this. Okay? That's how you take notes, right? Okay? You need to learn the passages. Because my point is not important. It's the passages that's important. Okay? Alright? Just for your... The 12 points, Christian growth. Okay, all these are the 12 points. You just... okay? These are the 12 points. Okay, these are the 12 points of Christian growth. Okay, any questions? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer, right? Let's close in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you want us to grow and you love us. I pray, Father, as we look at how Paul conducted his Christian life, that even though he was a spiritually successful apostle, even though, Lord, he was one of the so-called best apostles that you have, of course, we're just comparing it with regards to the outcomes of his church planting and the writing of the Bible. But yet, in his own life, Lord, he declares that he has not attained everything that God wants him to attain. Father, I do not believe you want us to compare with him, but I do believe you want us to at least take note of what he did to press on in Christ. And Father, also to follow Paul as he followed Christ. So, Lord, I pray for every believer, if there's one who is constantly hounded by the past, I pray they'll learn to press on and to keep Christ at the forefront of their mind and heart. To forget the successes and the failures and to know that, Lord, you can forgive them both and to give us strength and grace to press on. But Father, it is a decision we'll have to make to put our eyes on Christ, to put our desires on what you have put in our hearts, and Lord, in obedience to your word. Teach us not to go into unbelief, or teach us not to be unbelieving, but be trusting. The Father, sometimes the decisions we make need to fully reflect what you have taught us. So, Lord, we pray for the service to follow. I pray for your power, compassion, and especially your grace, that we might understand fully, Lord, what Christ did at the cross. Well, thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.